We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frizz, the Rally and Roars Ford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. In moments, we will welcome Terrell Owens to the stage. Ike Reese is on the stage. Hugh Douglas is on the stage. Jack Fritz is on the stage.
Yep.
There's Fritzy.
Who doesn't belong?
Well, I see the car. I see the... Rod gave me the thumbs up. But I also want to be able... Matt, can you tell me when he's right there?
Yeah.
We can introduce
Rod him. Didn't do the first shrug first with
no,
the yawn?
Yeah. The Twitter question, but just get this out of the way. Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. Is everybody ready?
We are.
Is everybody ready?
We are. They didn't make this much noise for me today.
Yeah, I know. What the hell? We've been here all day. I didn't hear that noise. So I want, when he walks in here, for you to give him the biggest Philadelphia welcome that you can give T.O. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for this? Fran, can you turn the speakers up so people can hear me? There we go.
Not too much, Fran. You're doing too much.
Damn it, Fran.
As we await Terrell Owens. Hugh is up here. Hugh, you all right?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm a little sleepy.
A little sleepy? Long day.
Wake your ass up.
Hey, listen. Complaining about a four-hour day is crazy.
Yes, it is. We live a blessed life, don't
that's what I'm saying. Complaining. I'm not complaining, people. I'm just, I'm a little sleepy.
Sometimes I go home after the show, and I'm like, I'm so tired.
And you feel bad because people like working real jobs.
Real jobs. Yeah, physical jobs. Even. Yeah.
You got to love this city, man. I was talking about it this morning. Riding up here.
Yes.
Spike, we are blessed to be in the throes of some of the craziest fanatical people on the planet of the earth, man.
Well, yeah. I will say passionate. People use passionate to describe Philly. Now, passionate makes you act bad sometimes.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Passionate also is this sort of thing.
Yeah.
For like an event that, in the end of the summer, here on a random Wednesday.
As packed as it is.
Mm-hmm. I see Lakin. Where is he, Lakin?
This is how you bring a crowd out. Shout out to everybody out here at McGurk's.
Yeah, shout out to everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Terrell Owens. T.O. 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 T.O.
What's up, big dog?
I'm good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Terrell Owens!
It never gets old.
That's how you bring them out.
Oh, man, the pit bull is here.
so you heard that.
I did. I missed that.
No, I said, it's like, I said, this is the first time. Okay, I'm going to let this go first.
So now can I tell my story? You can tell your story.
We were talking this morning, and it was like, so what is this like going to be like with TLC? I said, well, it's kind of like a pit bull that's off a leash. You don't know who the owner is. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know what they say about pit bulls, but all pit bulls aren't the same.
It's true.
I said, but he's a pit bull.
They can be temperamental.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I said, so we gonna be cool, and if the pit bull ain't cool, then I guess that's what it's going to be today.
It's all good.
So before we get into the conversation with you and Hugh, what is it, T.O., about you and Philadelphia that has kept up? I mean, we're 20 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time, 20 years later. What do you think it is? Why do you think the reaction is like this when you come back?
Number one, I think they knew what they were getting when the Eagles acquired me from San Francisco. And then I've always been a blue-collar guy. You know, I've always been a hard worker. I understand the city of Philly, the fans here. They're passionate. That's how I grew up. You know, my grandmother, she raised me to be passionate and to believe in who I am and stand on my beliefs. I was a God-fearing man. And just with, you know, Houston, you know, you don't know who the owner is, but with the pit bull, the dog on the leash, that owner was my grandmama. She had me on that leash. And like I said, Hugh and I, like I said, we haven't seen each other in years. But like I said, she always taught me to take up for myself. And that was one of those situations we came, you know, came to a situation and I had to defend myself. So, like I said, that's a big guy. That's a big guy. You know what I mean? that's a big guy. But at the end of the day, man, when you think about just coming here and doing what I did, and I was wanting the opportunity to come here and try to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. And I tried not to disappoint. You know, I wanted to be good as advertised. I always talk about now that I'm in the Hall of Fame, when I first got nominated in 2016, I thought about and I reflected on my career. And when I reflected on that career, part of it was really just that year and seven games that I played here. I thought about the desire and dedication and the discipline to it that enabled me to come in and play with the passion. And then even, like I said, you know, being hurt late in that first season, having only 6.5 and 7 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl with a broken leg, fibula, and I had torn all the ligaments in my ankle, 2 screws in a plate. I wanted so desperately to win something that they hadn't done in so many years here. We didn't accomplish that, but we got close to it.
I tell you, man, listening to you talk about, you know, that run up to the Super Bowl, before we address the elephant in the room, I remember you being in the training room at some point during that time. Mm-hmm. And you know how we all be in the training room hanging out. And you were saying then, just get us there to the Super Bowl and I'll be ready. I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. I did an interview on the way back from surgery from the hospital. I don't know if it was this radio station, but I did an interview and they asked me, was I going to be ready for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And I said, if those guys get to the Super Bowl, I'll be ready.
He never wavered in that, man. And that was, we hadn't even seen hyperbaric chambers back then, so we didn't know what the hell.
That was new stuff.
you were like one of the first athletes that was truly into sports science, innovative
cutting,
stuff.
Yeah, cutting edge. Yeah, yeah. I was,
man,
doing
seeing you out there with the bands, like the rubber bands, stretching.
That's the thing that I remember.
Everything.
The core workouts were bananas. Like the core workouts would be like 30 and 40 minute workouts.
Prior to the workout.
It was bananas.
That's why you still look like this, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to do what I can do, man.
Looking good.
Just in case, you know, they need me for third down, red zone, dude, I'm available.
And he ain't joking either.
No,
he's dead serious.
He's dead serious.
All right, so they put me in the middle of you two because I'm like Mills Lane. I'm an official, right?
We could have sat right beside each other. There's nothing going on. Over the years, like I said, you addressing the elephant in the room. Like I said, that was years ago. We both have matured. I'm sure we take ourselves back to that situation. I'm sure we both could have done, you know, a lot of things.
We definitely could have handled it differently.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. All right, so I only got a couple questions here. First of all, was there a victor? Anybody win? Or did anybody? No loss?
Listen, let me tell you.
That was okay. No bloodshed. None of that.
Okay.
I don't know for T.O., but it was one of – it was – I used to call it – I probably can't say it on air because Spike might want to dump it, but we both swung and missed.
Right.
When I tell people that story, they never believe it. The most action happened, if you might remember, when we were in the hallway and I was talking to Donovan. And I was talking about what happened, and T.O. went in the hall, and he said, hey, if somebody else wants some, he can get some too. And I looked at Donovan, right?
Right, exactly.
And I said, well, he ain't talking about me. I said, he ain't talking to me.
Right.
He got to be talking to you.
Let's not steer this thing in the wrong direction.
No. All I'm saying is, it was –
we it both was, have the same account of what's going
that's
on.
That's what I'm saying.
I basically spoke what you were saying.
It was basically we exchanged words.
Right.
We tussled.
That was a little bit of a tussle. And
then they broke us up.
Right. Trotter stood, got in between us, and that was it. And later on, Trotter was like, bro, I knew you were strong, but I didn't know you were that strong.
No, let me tell you, because you didn't know this story. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So Trot grabs me and puts me in a headlock, right? So I go in the hallway because I leave out the building, right? So I'm breathing hard as hell. And Trey was like, what's wrong? I said, yeah, man, me and T.O. just got in a tussle. He said, oh, he pretty strong, ain't he? I said, hell yeah. I said, listen. I said, I don't know what was going to happen, but I said, I knew I had to make it quick. I was like, I had to make it quick.
Right.
Almost cussed. But I was like, that cat right there. I was like, yeah, he pretty strong.
I tell you, and hearing it third party, quite frankly, you hear so many different stories, T.O., you don't know what the hell to believe.
Right, right.
And when it's former teammates telling the story, they always add their own little sauce to the story. So listening to Trey tell the story, all I knew was you had got out the aquatic pool.
Butt naked. He was butt naked at one point.
I didn't say butt naked.
But Trey, you know Trey said he was butt naked.
Yes, you had your tights on.
By the way,
T.O. had his tights on.
I wasn't naked.
And you tried him, Huey. He didn't even dry off yet. You tried to get him when he wasn't ready.
Okay, can I tell the story?
No, you tried him.
Can I tell the story? Let me tell you.
He tried to sneak you, T.O. He tried to get you. You wasn't ready yet. But T.O. was ready to go, Hugh.
No, what happened was I came in there because T.O. came. Like, he was, okay, we going back, he was listening to the show, somebody said something.
Yeah.
And I assume Angelo Cataldi.
Yeah, there you go,
I assume, I don't know this for sure, because this is the part of the story I don't know. Right. I assume somebody told him that I said something about him.
Right.
So T.O. was like, we got a bunch of haters in the building. And I'm like, hold up, dog. I ain't said nothing about you. I did sit there and didn't say a word.
Throw a rock in the crowd and somebody a holler.
So be quiet. So I went in the hydro pool and I was like, I'm talking trash, and I'm like, yo, dog, if you want to mix it up, we can. I use more colorful language than that.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, wait a minute.
It wasn't too long because I had to raise up out of that. I told Rick. I said, Rick, get me up out of here.
He said, wait a minute. So then I thought about it, right? And I said, you know what, Hugh? You're not even supposed to be in here. I said, so I went. And so, remember, Don Smolinski was in there.
Okay. Yep.
So Don was in there, and we traumatized Don.
Don was in there?
He was in the locker room.
Okay.
So me and T.O. talking to each other like we on the streets of Atlanta. We calling each other everything.
But the child of God.
So it was like, okay, he said, okay. He said, stay right there. I'll be right back. So I'm leaving. I said, man, I got to go because I ain't supposed to be here. I'm already out of the line and whatever. So when he came back, he was like, what's up? And I'm like, man, I am here.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like you see the cat. I'm like, dog, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
I ain't about to take the chance.
Your shoulder was hurt too, though.
Oh, yeah. But I was like,
trying to help him out.
No, listen. So I'm like, okay, you know how they say pause.
Yeah.
What would you do in this situation? I was like, dog, I got to swing first because if he swing on me, he might hit me with a shot and put me to sleep. So I swung, he ducked it, and then he swung, and I ducked it, and we tussled.
Right, that's me, yeah.
Trot grabbed me, and I'm like, oh, dog, Trot grabbed me. And he said, somebody grab T.O., and that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, we started talking trash, and that was it.
And you know what? We're all here. We're brothers.
Yeah.
Yes, we're all here.
Man, listen. This is the thing that nobody knew.
Yeah.
Every now and then, like T.O. has some stuff that happened in his life, and I had some stuff that happened in mine, and he reached out to me, and I reached out to him, and we would always talk. We tried to get him on the show a couple times, but the schedules just didn't match up. But it was never – that's why I always thought it was funny when people say, well, you and T.O. got it. I say, all right, dude, whatever you think. Because at some point – because I'm pretty sure you heard I whooped your ass and you whooped mine by who different people.
Right.
So at some point, you just got to let the story be whatever the story is.
Right.
So I just got to the point where I was like, all right, then, whatever you say.
Right, wow. Exactly.
You know, it was just like, whatever you say.
All right. What's your version of the story?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you though, the way Hugh describes it sounds like every potential fight I've ever been in that I'm just hoping somebody shows up and – pulls us away from each other. Yeah. It's like, oh no, am I in this situation? I hope somebody grabs him.
All right, so T, we'll get off of that topic because there were so many other great things that happened during that short time.
Can I just talk about one of the greatest plays
that I've ever seen you make, and I tell this story all the time. We're playing the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, it was so many, especially as an Eagle.
Yeah.
But dog, it was a crossing route. And we were playing the Baltimore Ravens. It was a tight game. And I remember Donovan threw a pass, but it was
a
low.
Slant. It was low. Oh, the low when he scrambled.
Yeah, and it was low. And dude, you didn't break stride. And you picked that thing up off the tops of your shoelaces. Yes. You remember that, Ike? And yeah. I was like,
is that the one
when
he did the Ray Lewis?
Yeah, and he took it in. It was. But the thing that made the play so special is because you was running full speed. And when you ran full speed, it didn't look like you was running full speed. But you picked that thing up with both hands, and you grabbed it like a baby falling out of a building, and it was the flash, and caught it right before it hit the ground. And took it into this. I said, this cat right here.
Relax.
Slow down here.
No, but you know, I don't get to see. Like,
this, I know this is like barbershop talk.
Yeah, so, it is like barbershop talk.
I was like, damn.
Did you see it? I was like, that was. I've never seen anybody make a play that looks anything close to what that was.
You know, you may be talking about when we played the Cowboys when I spit the linebacker.
Hell, it was so many. Right. I mean, take your pick.
Yeah, I think that's what you meant. Yeah, we had like a little Texas rap, but a little slam.
I know that play.
And then spit the linebackers. Yeah.
You see this crowd, T.O., right? They're all out for you. The thing I remember.
Thank you.
One of the things I remember. It was like our first when we went up to Lehigh. And it's like 25,000 fans trying to get into the stadium to watch practice, man.
Every morning.
And a lot of that year was because we had acquired you on the team. What did you think about that, going up there, seeing these fans? Like, what was your first impression of the Eagles fans? When did you realize, like, man, this is different?
Honestly, because that was my first year, so I thought this is what you guys had every year. I thought this is what was going on every training camp. But then, obviously, talking to Freddie and a lot of the guys, and they were like, no, people, it's not like this. Yeah. So it was like tens of thousands every morning at practice. But, again, that was part of what came with me as far as the stardom. And, again, that was part of, like, why I wanted to compete and why I wanted to be here to try to help win the championship. And so that was some of my fondest memories. Like I said, I'll never forget it. But, yeah, I loved being here in Philly when I played here. And just unfortunate that it ended the way that it did.
Yeah. I'm unfortunate how it ended. And I'm going to ask, and you know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What happened to the Monday night get-togethers, man? When we used to have the Monday night get-together.
Shoot, that was the lounge.
That's what I'm saying. But what happened?
Man, I don't know. Well, they can't happen if I'm not here.
No. I'm talking about they just abruptly stopped one time. The Monday night, yeah.
Oh, I don't recall that. You must have been sick that week.
Oh, man. Because
I just was like,
it was happening every Monday night.
I don't know.
It was happening every Monday night.
Yeah. Would you want to let everyone know what was the Monday night?
Well, he knew what I was talking about.
Well, yeah, we would read the Bible and watch Monday night football. We would fellowship on Monday night.
Sounds like a Hugh night.
Yeah, we would fellowship on Monday nights.
That's what was so crazy about, you know, people saying that I didn't get along with my teammates and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I had Monday night football gatherings, get-togethers at my house every Monday night.
And read scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were reading scriptures. Yeah. Maybe afterwards. Yeah. But.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
But yeah, man, I invited everybody. Coy, Ty,
yeah.
I mean, Jason Short, everybody, Freddie. Everybody was over there. Donovan came over. He was a designated bartender.
Always.
Go figure. But I mean, we had a good time.
Yeah.
You're a Hall of Fame, amazing career. The your time in Philly, we remember it as big. Like, it's a big part of our history as Eagles fans. Is your time here as big a part of your career as we remember it?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't. I can't say enough about, honestly, the Eagle fans and my short stint that I had here. Because people ask me all the time, either like, you know, what team did you enjoy playing for the most or the best? Or like, you know, who was your favorite coach? And I always say in between the Eagles and the Cowboys, I had some of my best years here with the Eagles. And sometimes, like, now being on social media, I don't know a lot about, like, some of my stats and some of my highlights. I get a lot of this information from a lot of Philly fans. Like, I didn't know that I played in 21 games and I scored 20 touchdowns. Yeah. So that shows you the efficiency in which, you know, we were scoring as an offense and how big of a part that I was of that offense. And, like I said, it's just unfortunate how things, you know, happen. And I think over the course of the years, when everybody tried to put the blame on me and said I was the reason why things fractured, I think now people kind of have seen, like, you know, what that reason may have been. We're not going to go delve into it, but everybody tried to say that I was the issue, I was the problem. But I think if you see my career and if you watched and saw how things unfolded over the course of the years that I haven't been here, been in Philly, you know that I wasn't the problem.
And I tell you what, I mean, I only got a chance to play with him for a year. I was here in 04. But I played with other guys that have played with T.O. When I was in Atlanta. Obviously, the teammates we had here. He's right. When you talk about a teammate, the guy's a consummate teammate. You know, I remember, T.O., when you would get your shipment of shoes, your Nikes and your Jordans and stuff would come in. Like, you would, younger players, yeah, right, the younger guys who didn't necessarily have big contracts or whatever, you're giving them Jordans, you're giving them shoes, right, you're looking out for them, right? So when you talk about a guy being a teammate, you know, I don't know if there are many guys out there, especially when you talk about a player of your status and stature, was it had more of a down-to-earth sort of humility about him. And when people hear you say T.O. and humility, they think about him on the field and how he celebrated, and they feel like he's a showboat guy, what have you. But off the field, and when he's around the fellas, he was just one of the guys, man. He was one of the guys.
Now, I was—I honestly feel like I was grossly misunderstood, especially by a lot of people that covered and followed the Eagles at that time, coming over from San Francisco. You have your Sal Palantonios of the world. You have your Skip Bayless.
Name. Those, tell them. Get them.
Those are the guys that created this narrative that I was a certain individual. And like I said, they couldn't separate the player versus the person. Obviously, when I got on the field, I was a different animal. I stepped up my game. I tried to, you know, play at the highest level in which they acquired me. And so they just, honestly, they couldn't. Like I said, they went with information that they heard from people that obviously probably didn't like me. So if you think about a 53-man roster, and you hear, like, maybe one or two people that didn't like me, they don't speak for the majority of the locker room. And that's what happened, and that's what followed me throughout the course of my career.
When we were talking about this in our meeting yesterday, I mentioned I read your book when it came out. And what happens with people who are famous is that they become almost like a cartoon character to people. They get defined by one or two traits. And when you hear everything about somebody, this goes for everybody, you in this case, is like when you read it and you're like, oh, I understand who he is, right, which sort of lets you understand why he may have done this that way or why he may have done that way. But people don't usually get all of that. You know, they can't. They don't have enough time.
No, and I always try to liken it to, like, I mean, everybody watch have these Marvel comics. You think about, like, you know, Spider-Man. You know, there's Peter Parker. You have the Incredible. You have David Banner, Incredible Hulk. Yeah. You have, Wonder Woman. You have Diana. So when I played, T.O. was sort of like that Marvel character, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, again, you had T.O. on the football field, and I was Terrell off the football field. And a lot of people never got a chance to know Terrell.
Yep.
And they went along with what they heard about T.O., and that wasn't always factual.
Well, let me say this, because the next segment, if it's okay with you, we wanted to play Jack as, like, your five most memorable Philly moments, and we're going to play them for you and
sure,
see if you remember.
It's hard to condense it down to five, but we, but I mean, 20 touchdowns in 21 games is pretty damn good.
But I do want to say this with you and Hugh, me as a fan, not having been, you know, in that situation with you guys, it means something, I think, to me and to us to see you. I know you guys say that you talk privately, but to see you guys together makes us feel good because those were great memories for all of us with all you guys. And to see you guys in person showing love to each other, I think means a lot to
man,
us
we grown.
Too.
I think even with Hugh, and I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure he probably heard some things that maybe was untrue about me and my character that factored into his reaction toward me. Like I said, I can't speak for him, but at the end of the day, like I said, I came here to Philly for one reason. Only, and that was to help win a championship. I remember in my press conference, I remember one of the things that I said. I came here, I wasn't trying to steal anybody's thunder. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to come in here and steal anybody. I wanted to add it to the value of what, number one, defensively, what I knew that we had on defense, and offensively, be that X factor on offense.
All right, so coming up next.
Boy, were you.
Yeah, hey, you're pretty good, man. You're pretty good. Yeah.
I was okay.
Well, coming up next, we will take T.O. through the best plays. T.O. is here with Gran Coromino, which is Kevin Hart's tequila, the official tequila of the Eagles. Doing an event tomorrow with Gran Carino.
Turn
Gran
up.
Coromino. I'm saying it right.
Turn
Gran
up.
Coromino and Joe DiCamera.
Can you turn up now, though?
I turn up now, bro. I tell you. I didn't used to turn up when I was playing, but now every now and then I'll take
turn
a
up a
sip.
Little bit.
Little
yeah.
sip here
so,
and there.
So T.O., Gran Coromino, and Joe DiCamera, the Uptown Beer Garden in Center City, that is tomorrow. Thank you for being here with us. We have another segment. It's going to be great. Hugh.
Oh, you trying to get me to
No,
brother, you're welcome to hang.
You're welcome to hang. I'm just saying.
I was like, I feel something.
All right, no,
we're here.
This
has been a long day.
Brotherhood is here.
Locker room.
So that is coming up next. We are in Royersford for Rally in Royersford at McGurk's, presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And will it let me say, hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now. I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down.
Hey, you know,
I got two things.
I'm so far down.
All right, it's the WIP Afternoon Show.
Hey,
with
see,
Ike Spike and Fritz.
Hey, what's up? Every time I say that, he set us back by 2 weeks.
that must be some real good Jack. What?
Jack Daniels.
That must be good Jack Daniels.
No, hold up. No, this Jack Daniels bottle. This is your bottle, brother.
That's my.
This is a gift to you. I know that you like to drink tequila, but every now and then, you need to get a little bit of brown in your life.
I'll be singing that song if I get some of that.
Here you go, bro.
Appreciate it.
You.
There you go. And I got something for you. I got some Gran Coromino for you right here.
Hey, oh, hey. Yeah. Hey, you see it. Yeah, do I get both of them?
Oh, yeah.
He wants both.
Well, you know, hey, you know, I'm
the Reposado and the Blanco.
I get the Reposado.
And the Blanco.
Double fisted.
We about to get some drink. Hey, this might help me go back to back.
Hey,
I'm gonna go back to back.
Hey, right, I ain't
go back to back. I ain't been back to back in a while, but drink some of this, I might be able to go back to back.
Fantasy draft.
But after hearing that, I see why y'all are on the radio.
Yeah.
After hearing that, I understand why you guys are on the radio.
Can you believe we get paid for this?
My God.
It's ridiculous.
Definitely don't try to do American Idol, lip sync, don't do mass singer, nothing.
No, we weren't planning on it. We weren't planning on it.
Please don't, for God's sake.
We are all right. Laying it on thick here. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, boy. So you must can't hear what I hear.
Yeah.
No.
That's why you got to sing.
I had the nerve to close his eyes.
I always do.
Like what? He was like he was singing like I'm from the
it.
Heart.
I'm feeling it. Wait,
but you sound like a dying crow.
Oh, come on. Will McGurk's in Royer's Crew.
Oh, my God.
T.O. is with us. Hugh Douglas is with us.
Yes.
So, T.O., we do a thing at 5 o'clock every day. Jack, who is at the end, does it. The top five at 5. It's
top
always a
five
list.
At 5.
So,
that's
we're right. doing a little late because you arrived at 5. But for the okay. top 5 at 5 today, we are doing our Jack's top 5 T.O. moments.
As, right. an, so, as an eagle.
As an eagle.
Okay, cool.
As an eagle. So, he's going to tell you about the moment, and then we want to hear your
reaction
memory.
To, yes. Okay. All right, dude, let's do it. Top right. 5 at 5.
There it is.
Coming
five.
After 5.
Number 5. At 5.
5. Oh, here we go. Guys.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, 5. Beautiful 5.
So listen, when T.O. came, I mean, what a, for a fourth grader, probably the best moment of my life.
Man, this crowd is amazing.
It's
man.
Amazing. It's
I
amazing.
Love you guys, man. Trust me. I love you guys.
Still haven't changed.
I love you guys, changed. Man.
So what happened today is the top
yeah.
5.
Just gotta let it breathe, dog. Gotta let it breathe.
Let it, it never gets old. I tried to tell you, Tayo. They love me here in Philly, and I love them back. Let's go.
So, the top 5 T.O. moments as an Eagle, starring at number 5. His first, I know we had training camp, but the first time that a lot of Eagles fans got to see T.O. happened to be in a preseason game and a pretty good indication as
that's
what
when they used to
get.
Play preseason.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see the first play if they don't try to
81.
To Terrell.
Turn it up, Justin.
Right on the jersey number.
He looks his way. Fires it his way. There's Evans at the 45. Inside the 20. And on the first play at Philadelphia in an Eagle uniform, Terrell Owens
yeah.
takes it 81 yards.
Who's production?
Right on the jersey number.
Where's production?
Well, we're a radio show. Do you remember the first preseason game? Do you remember that moment?
I do.
Yeah.
I scored an 81-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Right on the jersey number. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And it was cover 2. Cover 2. I went inside, went outside, and yeah.
That's hell of a recall.
Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was looking at the back of the 81.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
The fourth moment, so you guys went out to Cleveland, and it seemed like a hotly contested game. You had
T.O. That the T.O. has B.O. I turned
yeah.
the sign
yeah.
down.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's
T.O.
how
T.O. had B.O.
The second touchdown sounded.
Three wide receivers in, everybody goes out.
I mean, the this would be nice five. If everybody was seeing what we're hearing. Where's who's production? this Odyssey?
Is
this
a touchdown? Game.
Come on, Odyssey.
Get him.
Get with the program.
That's not much of a celebration. Well, as he goes after the Browns, fans throwing the ball against the wall.
Well, it was
39-yard touchdown pass.
It was decided to T.O.
I wish you guys could see what I experienced and what you guys are hearing, but due to technical difficulties.
So let me ask you about that game in Cleveland, right? Before that game, was it some? It was some sort of talk, right, going into that game.
Yeah, Garcia, because Garcia being, was the quarterback.
Oh,
he,
that's what it was.
He said, "What he said, if it looked like a duck and quacked like a duck, something like that." Was that it?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with this. I don't know. This, I don't know.
Because something had you fired up that
game. Well, I saw
it was Garcia, wasn't it? Because Garcia was the quarterback.
I was fired up every game, guys. It didn't matter. I was fired up every
game.
That's
true.
It didn't have to be Jeff Garcia. Whoever we played, I was fired up.
Yeah.
I was fired up.
What we got? Any more?
Okay. Yeah, so number 3.
We're at number 3.
Number 3.
Like, yeah, where we at?
Is this mine?
Yeah, we don't need any any audio.
That's mine.
Yeah.
Oh, well, where's mine? We're going to fight over this, Hugh. Yeah, you don't want to fight over this.
No, we too old to be fighting now.
No, that's yours. It's 2 of them. It's 3.
Oh, no, it's 2 of them back there. Yo's over there.
Okay,
fine. Give him that. Give him that.
There you go.
Okay, fine. It was a gift.
All right, so number 3.
So instead of playing the highlights, which we can't
my
see,
bad.
Jack is just going to describe.
Yeah. Okay, what are we talking about?
There
yeah.
we go. So the obviously the infamous sit-ups in the sit-ups in the driveway.
This is number 2?
Number
3.
The sit-ups in the driveway.
Sit-ups in the driveway. Okay. Yeah. What do you remember about that?
What do you remember about that day?
Oh, man, so
Andy and I had a disagreement at down at training camp. And so I get to my dorm room, and then I can't remember whoever it was. They came to my dorm room, and they said, Andy said, you need to go home. And I'm like, go home? And then so after that, he was like, you know, I talked to him, and he was like, make sure you keep yourself in shape. So I'm like, okay. Because I think it was like maybe a week or so left. And so I drove back to Morristown. I honestly didn't know what I was going to do once I got to Morristown. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I got into my house, and I was in there for like about 20 minutes. I'm walking around the kitchen, and then I heard some helicopters, but I didn't think anything of it. And then next thing I know, I heard a knock at the door. And I'm like, who's knocking at me? Like, who knows that I'm here? I just left campus like an hour and a half or something. I'm like, who knows that I'm here? So I peeked through the blinds, and I look out, and it was a row of tripods in front of my driveway with news and media. So I called my PR, and I was talking to her, and I'm like, yo, what should I do? I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, there's so many people in my driveway, and they keep knocking at the door. So I knew I had to give some sort of statement or something along those lines. And so I looked around the kitchen, which is where I had my my ab bench, and I just remembered something that came to my head. I'm like, well, I'm going to go out here and talk to the media. And I'm like, look, Andy told me to keep myself in shape. So I'm just going to go out here. I'm going to grab this ab bench. And he can't say that I'm not working out. It's going to be on national TV. So I'm doing what he's asking of me. You know, so I start doing the sit-ups. And I don't know if you watched that clip. That was when you had the little earpieces.
Yeah, the earpieces, yep.
Nobody knows this or knew this. But my PR, she was on the phone call. So she heard everything was being asked of me or whatever. So she was kind of like feeding me what to say or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. So yeah. If you watch that clip, listen, look at my ear. I had the earpiece, and she kind of like, I think I said no comment to a lot of them. But I answered some, honestly. But some of the things that, like I said, that wasn't worth, you know, me really commenting on, she was like, just say no comment.
Yeah. It was an all-time Philadelphia sports game.
So I was out, I was out there in my slides. Yeah. I was out there shooting hoops.
I actually think it's with – there's a category of Philly sports moments, like the Allen Iverson practice comment.
Right. Yeah.
Your sit-ups in the driveway is right there with it. Yeah. All right, Jack, what's number two?
Number two is down in Dallas on Monday Night Football. First, the story of the Nicolette Sheridan moment, which, as a fourth grader, was a little
jarring. The Desperate Housewives.
That would never happen again in this day and age.
But then you go out for three touchdowns, 134 yards, stand on the star, and a beautiful night.
Again, let's address the commercial, the Monday Night. Everybody, I got blamed for that when – media, they were in control of that. They approved that skit. So I would just happen to be one of the subjects that they needed for that skit.
Yeah.
So I got blamed and got a lot of backlash. Well, I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't thinking about no black, white. I didn't think about the content.
Right.
I didn't think anything. I just felt like it was appropriate. It was a way to promote Monday Night Football. Back then, Real Housewives?
Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives. It was one of the hottest shows on TV. Nicolette Sheridan happened to be one of the hot actresses on the show. And so, again, what way to better to promote Monday Night Football than one of the top guys, top teams, one of the top cities to play Monday Night Football. So that's how it went. And at the end of the day, like I said, I just did what was asked of me, which I normally do.
Yeah.
The funny thing, I do what's asked of me, and I get blamed for it.
You know the funny thing with that, T.O.? If y'all did that same commercial today, nobody would bat an eye at it in today's society.
No.
With the amount of stuff that's on TV.
It's rated. That would be rated PG.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
considering.
What you got number one there, Fritz?
I mean, number one is 9 catches, 122 yards in the Super Bowl on a broken ankle. It's just a legendary, legendary performance.
So the was there ever a time in between when you got hurt and the Super Bowl when you thought to yourself, I said I would come back, but this is a pretty serious injury. I don't know if I can.
Absolutely not.
Never.
Absolutely not. You can put me on a polygraph right now. There was no doubt. Once I talked to Rick Burkholder, who was the head trainer, Eric Sugarman and Chris Peduzzi, those are the trainers, assistant trainers.
You got a good memory.
When I came back from Baltimore, Dr. Myers, who did my surgery, That first day I went home, I thought I was going to chill for like maybe a couple of days just to kind of like let the swelling and things of that nature go down. I went into rehab the next day. Rick had a sheet, he had a rundown, a schedule of what he wanted to do and what we wanted to accomplish in 6.5-7 weeks. And he knew that I had the confidence and the mindset to do what it took to get back on the field. We had our deadline, we had it set, and so we captured it, we tackled it like no other. It wasn't easy. The first few days, I had to obviously elevate my foot every night. When I sat on the couch, I slept in the hyperbaric chamber every day.
All day, every day.
Every night.
Where did the idea for the hyperbaric chamber come from? Was that something you knew about or something Rick knew about?
It was my recovery team, Buddy Prim, those guys, who my personal trainer. I had some homeopathic guys down in Atlanta, the Genesis Center that's located in Cummings, Georgia. Dr. Sloan, all those guys, they were on board. They knew that it was an uphill battle. They knew we were pushing, we were flirting with, you know, time not really being on our side. So I did everything necessary in my power to get back on the field. So sleeping in the hyperbaric chamber, it accelerates the healing process. And so I did whatever I could in addition to manual work, just like I said, being in the HydroWorks pool. It was week to week, and every week I got better.
How did it feel?
Understand this real quick, Spike. He played in that game and did what he did and still was not healthy. I don't know. What would you say you were at that time?
I don't know. I would probably say maybe 75-80%. Yeah.
If that,
were you still dealing with pain, or was it just
the pain that I had was because of the break, because the fracture that I had in my fibula, which was like 10 centimeters down, and so when I went out to warm up, I have my whole little routine. So they wanted to, for extra protection, they wanted to tape it up, and so during the course of the season, I never taped my ankles. Because I practiced without tape, so I just figured, okay, I can play without tape. So I started that back when I was in San Francisco. So just for precaution, they put me, they taped me up. I went out to run to do my lap, and I was in excruciating pain. The tape hurt really bad. So I went back in and I told Rick, and I said, Rick, I said I can't wear this tape. I said it's hurting too bad. And then I said, aside from that, I said my ankle is not even what's hurting. The ankle is where I had the two screws in the plate. The part that was hurting was where I had the break.
The leg.
Yeah, so he basically told me, he's like, look, this is what we're going to do. Because naturally, with weight distribution, your bones spread just a little bit. It's not noticeable, but it spreads naturally. So he basically, when I went in, I told him where I was hurting. He basically got some tape, and he taped it really, really tight around the top where the break was, so my bones wouldn't spread. And so that eliminated and minimized some of the pain. And I took a couple of Toradol pills just to kind of help with the pain. But even after the game, I wasn't in any pain, none whatsoever. And I ended up getting the screws taken out literally a month from the date of the game. I think it was March 2nd or March 3rd is when I got the screws out.
Man, unbelievable. It's one of the more incredible athletic feats. You know, that's one of those games where they've only given the MVP to one guy on a losing team. It was the Cowboys, I think, back in the day. Bob Lilly. I think somebody checked that for me.
And I heard they were considering after the
they game. Should have.
Yeah, I heard that they were considering doing that, but obviously Deion had a great game. He had like 10 catches, and I think one or two touchdowns. But that's what I remember most about that game is really the journey, the process in which it took me to get back. And honestly, I wish I could have had a couple more catches, a couple more throws thrown my way. I know we would have came out on top.
My fondest memory that year was the holiday party. Holiday party you threw at the mansion?
I met Vivica Fox
Dude, let me tell you.
Were there Bible verses that night?
There wasn't no Bible verses that night. I mean, well, you brought out the stars that night. Yeah, Gabrielle Union was there.
I brought Hollywood to Philly.
Yeah. My wife was there, but I was like, damn it. Hey, man, I ain't blind.
It was nice. It was a good time. It was a good time. That's a good time. Man, I
felt like
I
saying
miss
that.
It,
you about to get slapped.
Yeah, I know it.
So, T.O. is here with Gran Coromino Tequila.
About to get slapped.
The official tequila of the Eagles. There's an event tomorrow night with Gran Coromino, T.O., and Joe DeCamera at Uptown Beer Garden in Center City. So first of all, before we have one more final big important question for you, T.O. But before we get to it, I just want to thank you, Ike, Hugh, for giving all of us an awesome moment. It was great to see you guys back together and great to see you guys loving each other. So
you know what?
We appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here. What a lot of people don't know, I've been in the process of shooting my documentary. It has gotten now pushed to 2026. So hopefully somewhere between now and the release of it next year, I'll be able to come back to Philly, come back into the city of Philly,
yeah,
and enjoy it. And you guys can be a part of that documentary. And so I think, obviously, a lot of things, everything happens for a reason. Obviously, I'm disappointed that it's not going to be able to air and launch this year. It was scheduled to launch Black Friday right after Thanksgiving of this year. But because of some difficulties with, you know, trying to pin some people down for interviews, we got to push it a little bit.
You want
to
do a big premiere in Philly? We will do a big premiere.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, I know they're listening. Prime, it's going to be on Prime Amazon. It's going to be, obviously, around one of the Thursday night football games. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
So here is the big question. So you talk about how much you like Eagles fans. So we're going to make you pick your favorite fans among three teams, and you will choose the hat of the best fans.
You don't have to, I'm going to say Philly.
Well, can't I have them boo the other ones first? Well, I just want them to boo the other ones.
Okay, he's going for a fact.
I'm already knowing this. That's San Francisco, and I guarantee it's Dallas. I know it's going to be Dallas.
Dallas. Rod gave him to me.
Anybody got a pen?
Anybody got a Sharpie? Anybody got a Sharpie?
Who's got a Sharpie?
Anybody got a pen? Anybody got a Sharpie and a pen?
Well, you know, you're the one who made Sharpies famous.
Yeah, there we go. I got some low-cut socks. I don't have no pen in my sock. I don't have no pen in my sock.
You made Sharpies famous.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hugh Douglas, Ike Reese, and Terrell Owens.
Hey!
There we go. There we go. Whoa.
Oh! Dave, somebody.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, we will be with you tomorrow. Oh, Jack is up next, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who's up next?
Jack.
Yeah, I got Phil's Mets there, Tio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Phil's Brewers.
Yeah, all right.
We will talk to you tomorrow from the link. Remember, deodorant is the thief of joy. Now,
What's really going on? I'm trying to go play some pickleball right now.
You want to play pickleball?
Yeah, I'm trying to find somewhere to go play pickleball immediately after this.
The last time I saw you, you were coming from playing pickleball at the Super Bowl.
Exactly. I'm going to play some more pickleball today.
All right. You're good.
You're good, man.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.